Hey friends, it's Karen Weiss, and this is not a sermon. This is a podcast with Missy Schoonover. We are back after like a year.
Surprise!
Surprise!
We're back.
We are back, and
we never went anywhere.
We got distracted and busy, and life happened, and as you all know, it's been an interesting time in the life of the United States, and for those of you who are United Methodist, in the life of the United Methodist Church, and we are recording this at the end of April in 2023, in case that matters to you, and yeah, it's good. And so for our eight listeners...
Yay! We love you, eight listeners.
We love you, eight listeners, and...
And if there's anyone new,
yeah, welcome. You can find out more about me, anyway, Karen Weiss, on our Waterworks Ministries page, which is waterworksministries.org. We're still doing spiritual direction and mediation and training, and so if you'd like to have us come out and, you know, teach on anything related to discipleship and discernment, give us a holler. We'd love to do that for you. So... What are we talking about today?
Well, when we left off a year ago, we were talking about the Holy Spirit.
We were talking about the Holy Spirit.
So maybe we should jump back into that conversation. Not that we have been ignoring the Holy Spirit for the last year. That has been not the case. But how about we jump in there?
Okay. Where would you like to start?
Oh, wow. Okay, loaded. ambush. No, not really. Well, you know, I think... There's times that my son actually has said this, and he has had the privilege to grow up witnessing the sometimes craziness that is the two of us and our relationship and our friendship and our sisterhood. And there have been times over the years when Karen and I would be talking about something, and our son would walk through, and he would only be hearing a snippet of the conversation, and he would kind of giggle. And then later he would say, Mom, if people didn't know the two of you and they were to eavesdrop on your conversations, I would love to know what they might think. Mm. He said, because I think some people would really be interested, some people would be scared, and some people would think that you were crazy. So with that being said, I say all that to say, for our listeners, and I do believe that God is doing great new things every day, and there will be more than our faithful eight listening to this. I do believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking very loudly, but life has gotten so loud that people don't hear. So I'm kind of thinking about today and us talking really as a chance for people, be ready, you may be frightened, but, you know, hopefully you walk away from this, like, just eavesdropping on one of those conversations that you and I have sometimes, because Karen and I have really, really intense conversations about a lot of things that God is doing in our lives and we see around us and things that hurt our hearts. And we've started to see themes, but I just think really as a starting point, how maybe the Holy Spirit is speaking and wants people to listen more. That's kind of where my heart is right now. Mm-hmm.
And I was reminded this morning in a conversation that me as someone who works in listening to God, like that's kind of my job. I don't always hear correctly, but, you know, that's kind of the direction of my work. Not everybody has the benefit of doing this every day. And so why don't we start kind of with, in some ways, a simple yet difficult thing of, how did we learn to listen to God? And what does God's voice sound like to us?
Well, you know, I think that's the question, right? I was in a small group, I don't know, it was maybe a month ago, and there was such confusion in the conversation about hearing God's voice. And one of the individuals even said, well, it's not like I hear an actual voice in my head, because that would be, you know, that would be crazy. And I kind of slanked a little bit, like, well, there's times that God has spoken to me in that way, not in the Charlton Heston, you know, or the, you know,
it's
or
not
the,
in a clap of thunder.
It's not in a clap of thunder. But I think that it's important to make the disclaimer that this is not something new for us, but there was a time that it was very new. So I believe that the discernment of hearing the Holy Spirit speaking, it's a muscle. And you really, first of all, you have to want to hear. And then you have to be willing to do the journey with God, partnering with Him along that journey. I remember being jealous when I was brand new to this, because I thought that much more seasoned spiritual mentors, when they would talk about how they really were in tune with the Holy Spirit, you know, I was jealous of them, and I wanted what they had spent, in some cases, their lifetime cultivating. I wanted it in the microwave, you know, 60 yeah. seconds or less. And I wanted it to be exactly the way that their experience was. And God laughed. And He was like, there. So I think it's important to know that there was a time. Karen and I are going to talk about how we hear the Holy Spirit and what that looks like. But understand, listener, that this isn't something that we have a lifetime of experience. There's times that it feels like it. Just because of the intimacy of the relationship that we have with our risen Savior. But it is something that we had to learn.
Oh, yeah. And we're speaking from 15 years on this side of things.
Which is crazy to think about.
It is crazy.
15 years.
That, you know, it has been 15 years. And there have been a ton of potholes. that's probably the nicest way to say it.
That's very nice. That's a very nice way of saying it.
We've broken a few axles.
We have each had to reach our hand deep down into the pit to help the other out.
Yeah.
Luckily, we haven't been in the pit at the same time.
No.
Probably shouldn't have said that.
No, you should not have said that. Well, that's not true. We have been in the pit at the same time. Just not the hearing God pit.
Yeah, this is true.
There have been other pits, like tar pits.
Yeah.
We've been in tar pits, not potholes necessarily.
Not potholes. But anywho, it is something we have to learn. We have to learn. And I'm still learning.
Because God continues to speak to us in different ways.
Absolutely.
So, like, I'll say when I was relearning how to hear God, because for like a year and a half or 2 years, I heard God very strongly through like my gut intuition and a deep sense of knowing. And then that disappeared. And I didn't know what to do with it. I was angry. In some ways, rightly so. But then once I got over it, through it, around it, under it, all the ways, I decided that it was still important, regardless of what I might have lost, to continue to be able to hear God speak to me. And so we were at a conference. There was this guy that we called Funky Funky. and he had a workbook that helped honestly, and I've got it actually over on my shelf. We're sitting in my office, and it's over on my shelf, and I have not given it away.
Oh, I see it.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's called Hearing God's Voice.
Mm-hmm. I got rid of my copy.
Did you?
Well, yes.
I'm a book hoarder.
Yeah.
So.
yes.
But it was one of those things where I was given permission to not know. And for my personality, that was really important. And so, like, that was kind of the opening up of it, where then this author went and gave different ways of hearing. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I still do to this day is that when I don't know, when I'm confused, when I'm upset about something, I will write it out with my like pen and paper, and I will get all of my thoughts out, or think I do anyway, like as much as I can, and then I will stop and say, okay, that's out of me. Now, how can, you know, what is God saying to me? And I'll start writing. And when you first try this, you might look at it and go, oh, I don't know if that is God. Valid. Absolutely valid.
Absolutely.
It could be your ego. It could be the enemy. It could be, you know, your parent or guardian's voice in your head. But one of the things that this workbook talked about was comparing it to scripture. Is what you think God is saying to you, does it line up with God's character in scripture? And also, if you feel so inclined, I am not a trusting individual, so I never did this, but if you're so inclined, you could take it to a friend or a spiritual director or your pastor and ask, you know, does this sound like God to you? You and I do that randomly now.
Like, right.
With each other. Mm-hmm. But, like, back then, there was no way.
Oh, we wouldn't share them with each other.
No.
And I'm just kind of sitting here smiling because I remember when Karen, when she bought the workbook, because I had already been journaling for a long time at this point. I didn't like it, but I had been doing it. And Karen was so reluctant to journaling, because that's really what you're talking about is journaling, getting those feelings out, mm-hmm. getting those thoughts out, getting those. And sometimes God even speaks to us through that. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, wow.
Look at how I'm feeling.
Oh, gosh, I didn't realize that. But we were not even willing at that point to share with each other. Mm-hmm. What we were writing and what we were feeling. And understand, you rewind the tape in our lives 15, 16 years, there were a lot of significantly bad things going down in our lives. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of hurts, a lot of loss. So we were really having, even with each other, we were having issues of trust. We wouldn't let anyone read it. Mm-hmm. And that's okay, mm-hmm. because God was with us in it. And when we were going through that experience, we were both looking so much for feeling, which was very different from our personalities. So we assumed that had to be from God, that we were looking for that feeling, that, you know, that thundering voice or that sudden spark of inspiration. And God was like, no, that's just not, no, mm-hmm. that's. So we did both. That was a time that we both were in pits. We were in pits, adjacent pits, because we had that taken away. You know, we were having such mountaintop emotions at times through different experiences that the Lord was letting us see and co-labor with Him in, that we started to trust the emotion and not Him. Mm-hmm. So that was taken away. But yeah. I agree. Writing things out and don't censor yourself while you're writing it, because that's a temptation. Mm-hmm. God already knows. So just write it. Get it out. Burn it. I like to burn things, papers. So I don't, there's no record of any of these things over the decades with me, because mm-hmm. I burn them. Because it's just between me and God.
Yeah, nobody needs to find that kind of stuff.
No. Well, and I'm in a different place now. I'm not a different person because I'm still trying every day to be better. But I have grown a lot in a lot of ways from those times. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although some days I do kind of wish I had them just to go back and just read them just to see how far I've come.
I have no desire to do that at all.
But scripture is key. I mean, yeah. Scripture is, I mean, that is so key, because people, I hear so often, even in that small group, oh, I just want to hear the word of God. I just want to hear him. And I'm like, hello. Yeah. It's sitting on the table in front of you right now. He's still mm-hmm. speaking. And it's kind of cool sometimes when, and I still do this. I've done this for 20 years, probably at this point. I'll just sit down with my Bible and I'll be like, you know, God, I don't even know what I don't know. I don't even know what do you have for me today? Just take me to the scripture, and I will just let, Karen has seen me do this. I will just take my Bible and I'll just open it, and I will be drawn to a verse and I will read it, and it will be enough to just stop me cold in my tracks, because it will be, usually with me, it's convicting. To help get me back, you know, or to be very affirming. But scripture is key, because God's character does not change. Mm-hmm. Ever.
The God of love and grace and mercy and compassion and all of those things. If that's, I will make a bold statement and say, if you are writing down what you think God is saying to you and it is not filled with those things, then it is probably not God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because when God communicates with God's children, there is an overwhelming love that permeates the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Period.
Yeah. And there's
no asterisks.
There's nothing that changes that.
No.
You know, and that's another thing about knowing scripture, right? Like, I had a conversation earlier today with someone about the 23rd Psalm, and it's a scripture that's often used at funerals, but there's so much more depth and breadth to it than just that. Like, the acknowledgement that God is our salvation, mm-hmm. that when we trust and rely on God, there's nothing that we lack. You know, that there's so much in there, and then
oh my gosh,
God
yes.
chasing us down with love and beauty, you know,
right?
Like a big stick, like, I'm gonna beat you with love,
right?
Not really, but you know,
but he wants to,
but like a big, you know, yeah. a blow up, you know, bouncy house mm-hmm. or something, you know. God's love is soft and gentle and also convicting.
Well, I mean, his discipline,
the,
I mean, his yeah. discipline, you know, our God is a God of justice, and that's where we in today, well, not just today, people of any time on the timeline, we have such a different view of justice than what the characteristic of God that is justice is. Hmm. We want to try to put our flawed, man-made justice on God. Mm-hmm. And his justice is not that same. It's yeah. not. His justice is always from a place of love. And that's something that I know I really struggled with learning. It's not my justice. Mm. And it's not my, you know, looking. Now, have there been days, I confess this, and I'm not proud of this. So please understand, listener, I am not proud of this. And Karen can back me up, because I've done it more than once, so I'm still learning lessons, where words have come out of my mouth like, you know, I wish smiting were still a thing. Because I've got some people on
a list.
And then I stop, and I'm like, and if God is it still wants to be in the smiting business, I'm probably at the top of the list right now. Because yeah. I just, you know, mm-hmm. but it's just...
But there is a freedom... In being able to say, I would like some more smiting, God, right now. Like,
yes. Oh, and he hears me.
And God laughs.
And he laughs, you know.
In love and grace.
Because like, I think...
Those are some of my favorite conversations
oh my gosh.
In spiritual direction start out yes. with, you know, I'd like a bit more smiting to be happening right now.
A bit more smiting. These are the types of conversations that I'm just telling you that when my son would walk through, these are the things that
yeah.
he would hear. Like, I really wish that God did a little more smiting. And he would be like, you are nuts. But remember...
But it means the Holy Spirit is working.
Absolutely. But remember, if you are so troubled by something and your heart is so burdened by something that you perceive as so against what God's will is for his people and for those who are not yet returned to him, you better sit up and take notice. Because 9 times out of 10, yeah, it might be your own anger, but what if you're being nudged to pay attention to something because the Holy Spirit is behind that feeling? Mm-hmm. Now, he's not ever going to make me want to smite someone. Well, I can't smite anyways, but like, but you know, that's the whole point of like Jeremiah, right? Lamentations, you know, crying out, telling him all your junk. Yeah. So he can say, they're there.
Yeah.
Now what? Uh-huh. And then you say, you're still God. You're still love. You're still justice. It's yours to give. What do I do today? And how can I be joyful in it?
Ugh.
Yeah, I struggle with that. Mm-hmm. But I do think
like,
that
I don't like to ask that question.
Well,
let's
I know.
Be realistic. Like,
well,
who
likes asking that question? Let's be real. Who really likes it? If you like it out there, drop a comment.
Yeah.
Let us know because we need to learn. But I do think that there's a lot of that going on right now of people feeling burdened by things that are happening in the world. And believers, hear me. You know, when we're talking about people who are...
Who are followers of the way. The way. As it was called back when it started.
Back when it started, yeah. So
they weren't Christians. They were followers of the way.
They were followers of the way.
Mm-hmm. There's your historical tidbit for the day.
Right. Yes.
But yeah, there's something to be said for being honest. And I think... In a lot of ways, because I work with leaders, and because I am involved in lots of different leadership things, like it's not just that I'm a spiritual director and leadership coach, it's I'm on different committees, I talk to different people about what their experiences are. I had a stress management and trauma workshop that I did not facilitate and lead, but I organized. From the back end logistics, and I was there, and they were all leaders there and talking about what's going on. And everyone has stress. And sometimes stress can be really good. Like, if we didn't have stress, we would be a puddle on the floor, essentially. Like, we wouldn't get anything done. There would be no sense of drive or passion or calling or even just... that growl in the stomach of, I'm hungry, maybe I should get out of bed and eat something.
Right.
There's all kinds of different stress. But in the past year to 18 months, we have seemed to let our stress give us license for, in many ways, bad behavior within the church. And so for those of you laity out there, that see people being unkind or whatever, know that your pastor sees it too and is probably really hoping that they won't have to call somebody on it. Like, if you can pull the person aside and have a meaningful conversation about, you know, who you know God to be and how God expects us to be, that, you know, like, if there's something like that, or like Missy was saying, if there's something that's really kind of stuck in your brain or your heart or your gut and it won't go away, maybe God's nudging you to be praying about that or to take some kind of action, to find an organization to support. You know, something like that, where that can be how the Holy Spirit talks to us through our emotions.
Yeah.
But we also can't let them then dictate how we treat other people.
Right, because your emotions can lie to you.
Oh, our emotions lie to us all the time.
And they lie every day.
They're fast moving.
Mm-hmm.
feelings are not facts, even though they can feel that way.
Exactly.
And so they're there to tell us something, but they're not supposed to be in the driver's seat.
And that's the key right there. That's right. And God is not ever going to nudge us to take action that is counter to his nature. Mm-hmm. Because that is not, that's not God. You know, how many scriptures do we have reminding us that we are called to love those that we disagree with, or love those who do not yet know him? Mm-hmm. And that's a mistake that a lot of people make. And you know, talking with someone to help out your pastor, really, like, don't take it as we're saying, go buy yourself a cape and become the crusader in your congregation to call out all bad behavior, because that in itself is bad behavior. But, you know, that's scriptural to take someone in private and have that conversation if you feel that the Lord is leading you to do it, and not because you want to be right. There's the difference in the emotions, because God will use the emotion of humility and love and grace to motivate us, because we want that person to sometimes people don't even know how they're coming across, and that's scriptural. If you have an issue, you take it privately. Mm-hmm. And then if it isn't resolved, right? Mm-hmm. So again, it comes back to scripture.
Bring another person.
Bring in another, not to gang up.
Yeah.
But to really have that meaningful discussion. And, you know, Karen and I have had that conversation with folks, and we have had that conversation had with us. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Every time that it has been 100% God-led, it has been a beautiful experience of growth and transformation. It maybe didn't feel that way in the moment. Okay.
There are times when it's ouchy.
Very ouchy. But when you can come through it and you know that God led that person to have that heart conversation with you because he loves you that much. Mm-hmm. And usually when I'm off on some tangent, I'm not listening to God. Mm-hmm. And I confess that. And then it makes me really grieve. And, but I know that it's okay. I can have those hard conversations with God and be like, you know what? Yesterday I was a mess. Thank you for loving me even through the mess. 'Cause he does. Mm-hmm. But you can hear from the Holy Spirit in so, so many ways. I mean, I heard a lady the other day say, you know, for now, and that's what she said. Well, for now, I'm really hearing from the Lord in music that a year ago, I would have told you I didn't even like. She was like, but I'm finding that there's certain genres of music now that I like, that I never did before, because I'm listening to the lyrics. And it's speaking to me. And she was like, and that has to be God, because it's music that I don't like. And I was like, that's really cool that she's able to notice it. But she didn't. She then said she prayed about it for like a month and was like, yeah, that is something that he's doing. That is a new thing. Well, that's cool. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of ways.
There are all kinds of ways. And so as you're journeying with God and deepening your relationship and growing and transforming, there's, as someone in scripture said, you know, make sure you test the spirits. And so for Missy and I, the best way that we've done that has been most fruitful has been to compare what we're getting against scripture. Does this, and for me, it's not even like, oh, I've got to go look in the Bible. It's, does this line up with the character that I have experienced and know of God? Like, is this something God would say or not?
Right. And sometimes because of my personality and the way that he made me, I can change, but he wired me a certain way and now I embrace it. Sometimes I do need that exact scriptural confirmation because I'm like, well, you know, because I will doubt it. And I'll be daggoned if every dang time he doesn't take me right to the scripture I need, or someone will share it with me, mm-hmm. or I will hear something every time that I am like super, and okay, usually it's when I don't want to listen. I don't like the message. And I'll be like, well, that's, I need to test it some more. And Karen will be like, okay, you can stop that now. You know that it's...
Yeah, let me know when you're done.
When you're finished beating your fist against God's, you know, chest, let me know when you're done. There. Is it all out now? Because, you know, I do that sometimes, right? You know, I'll be like, well, I need to, you know, maybe it's not. And Karen will laugh. And I do it with her. So, mm-hmm. you know, this is more encouragement. We can't be on an island.
No.
You know, this is where... the church, you know, air quotes here is what I'm doing. You know, the church, we're really important to each other. Mm-hmm. Because we help each other.
Yeah. Again, scripture, where two or three are gathered, I am there as well.
Yeah.
And we are wired to be in community. We're wired to be in relationship. The way that our brains work, mm-hmm. that, you know, neuroscientists are finding out more and more every day. Like we automatically mirror others in their actions and their emotions and their energy level. Like we do it without even being conscious of it. And so there's something within us, and I believe that it's God, that created us this way, that has very much created us for relationship. And so community in the way that community's talked about in the church doesn't have to be, oh, well, I go to worship every Sunday. I read Acts 2:42-47. Like,
period. End of that discussion.
that'll show you what the first church looked like.
Yeah.
And how they had community. And so it doesn't have to be on Sunday morning. It doesn't have to be a Wednesday night Bible study. Like, it's one of those things where, Missy, you and I have created our own people groups. Mm-hmm. Some overlap, some don't.
Right.
Where we have a network of individuals that are our community.
Right.
And so, you know, we don't get together with them, that, you know, some are bunched in different ways, and, you know,
they're all very different,
but that's part of being in community, is finding those people that you trust enough to be able to speak into your lives, to have that spiritual consent that you're talking about, mm-hmm. where you know that they have your best interest at heart,
right.
and they're not just out to, you know, be a jerk or be right or whatever it is. And that is both easier and harder with the way that our culture is right now.
Well, everything in the world right now is pushing us away from that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything. I mean, just if you just take the time in the course of your daily life to just notice things, and just notice how much the world out there is pushing towards, in the interest of streamlining and efficiencies, you know, do it online, do this, you know, text, don't call, don't meet, let's get on the computer. Like, it's pushing us away from human interactions. And I don't think that that's just by happenstance. You know, that's... Scripture tells us the closer we get to when Jesus returns, and we're on the timeline, mm-hmm. so we're closer today than the disciples were, but who knows? It could be tomorrow. It could be 2,000 years. Don't know. Don't care. Scripture again says nobody knows but the Father, so I don't worry about it. But the point is, you know, Satan knows that his days are numbered, so as each day goes by, there's going to be different tactics used to try to get the believers of this world to not do the things that really are meaningful, to bring new people to faith so that they can experience a relationship with Jesus. Like, we don't do the saving. All we have to do is be the door to help somebody like ask the questions, or you know, or just plant the seed and somebody else will water it, and then someone else will, you know, reap the harvest. But just be willing to have humility. And everything in the West is counter that, you know, me, you know, and that's not scriptural at all. So seek out someone that you can trust and understand that, you know, Karen and I are going on a lot of years together. And even though we were in it to win it together, even with each other, it took us time to build that trust to where now, I mean, this may come as a shock, probably not. I don't think there's anything that we wouldn't share with each other. Yeah, I don't think so.
Probably not, no.
I
have to think a while.
There's like no topic that I don't believe we've...
That we haven't laughed about.
Right.
Probably.
Yeah.
That's how we roll.
That's how we roll.
If you can't laugh about it, then it's probably not worth talking
and
about.
Some of the times that we've laughed the hardest now, so I hope this gives you hope, are those rememberings of things that we did that we were convinced we were doing God's work. We were not. We were so, our heart was pure and our intentions were good. But we were like, yep, this is what God wants me to do. Well, how do you know that? I just know it. And away we would go. And and boy, did he always have us in his hand. But now we laugh about those things. Mm-hmm. So, and we'll be laughing 20 years from now at things from, you know, next week. So it's just, it's always new with God.
Yeah. And that's part of it too. So if you are in a time of where how God used to speak to you isn't jiving anymore, like you look around and at least this is what I say when this happens, I'm like, I've got nothing.
Yeah.
I'm like, it is like I'm in space. There is a vacuum and it's not happening. If you're in a time like that, this is an opportunity to sit and be still and be silent and to wait. Another thing we are not good at in our culture. But waiting is not passive. Waiting is active. And so, like, when we started this conversation about how I got this book, this workbook, and I was like, well, let's try this. You know, a lot of the stuff didn't land, but one thing did, and it's helped me with my discernment for the last, like, 10 years.
And it was the thing that you resisted the most. Oh, my gosh,
absolutely.
So if it's something that you really, really, really are convinced that God's not asking you to do, take another look.
Yeah, you might.
You might be surprised.
Yeah. You might be wrong.
Or you might, there, you said it much more bluntly than I was. You might be wrong. If it's something that's in your own power and it's easy for you, in my experience has been, if it's something that comes naturally for me, I get in the way.
God's probably not using that.
He's probably not using that, because then I go back into self-reliance, and that's not ever a good place for me to be.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just me.
Yeah, it's funny, because I did used to be someone who just did not want my stuff on paper.
You know, trust issues.
Trust issues, yeah. And then, you know, working on journaling, and part of that got me really to write it down was going through the spiritual exercises over those 8 or 9 months where, you know, the director who walked me through it said, you know, it would be very helpful for you if you wrote your prayer experiences down, because we're going to review them every week.
You hated that.
I don't know if you just heard, but Missy is shaking her head and whispering, you hated that.
You hated that.
There are times, like, because I've gone back to that notebook, that one in particular, and looked for things, and I'm like, I never wrote that down. Like,
Censored.
Yeah.
You censored yourself.
Well, but the thing about it is, like, these are stories that I use, like, as personal examples of God's transformation, and I didn't write them down. I find it very amusing. Mm-hmm. But, like, and then later I went through Julia Cameron's The Artist's Way, where she says, if you know, the two things that are required every week are doing the morning pages every day and then going the artist date. Having to do stream of consciousness writing
every day.
Every day for like 12 weeks. At first it was really hard, but I was like, no, because I'm one of these people where it's like, no, I committed to this. I'm gonna do it. Doesn't matter if I hate it. Doesn't matter if it feels like someone is sticking a hot poker in my eye. I made this commitment. I'm going to do it. And by the end, I liked it. Not the actual, like, tactile writing things down. But I noticed that it got all the junk out of my head. So that I was more present in my work and in my relationships and all those kind of things. Now I don't do it unless there's something that really kind of gets stuck in my craw, and then I'll do a stream of consciousness writing for however long is needed. Sometimes it's like 40 minutes, and that's not what she recommends. Let me just be clear. But to get it all out, and then I can sort out what I'm actually feeling. With the help of the spirit, you know, and so it's like mirrors, you know, people talk about, you know, holding up a mirror to yourself. Writing is one of the ways to do that. Gazing at an icon, and noticing what you notice about the eyes or about the hands or, you know, something in the painting. You know, oh, how is that reflecting how I'm feeling? So, like, if you notice that the eyes look accusatory, or if there's some kind of, you know, condemnation, that's not the icon, right?
No.
The icon is mirroring back to you how you are seeing the world or yourself at this moment. And so God speaks through that, too. Like, and it's, like you said at the very beginning, it's a muscle, right? And so paying attention is kind of the gateway to then allowing the Holy Spirit to work in and through us in a lot of different ways, because we can then talk to God about what we notice.
Right.
Like, oh, I was an absolute Krabby Pants yesterday. What's that about?
What's that about? Right? And that's one of the things that I say. What's that about? Hey, Karen's heard this 1,000 times. Every morning before my feet hit the floor, what do I say? Lord, thank you for the privilege of another day to do your work. Forgive me for yesterday because I was a hot mess. Help me do better today.
Yeah.
Because that's what it's about. But it's noticing. Mm-hmm. And the icon, I'm so glad you brought up the icon because that's so funny. Years ago, oh my gosh, years ago, Karen got me into the whole use of icons. And it's the darndest thing, because you can gaze at the exact same icon, and if those eyes don't look different based upon what God is wanting to talk with you about, or the hands, or for me, it's the way that the face may be looking. I mean, it's these things that you can look at the exact same. Maybe for someone else, it might be a different piece of work. You know, I mean, it could just be anything, whatever it is that God wants to use. And it will be different each time that you are intentional about looking at it. And that's really been cool. But it's so funny. The accusatory eyes. Boy, don't we both have experience with that? She didn't just pull that word out of the air, gang.
That's a lot of times that's my own personal experience.
We're being very self-critical.
Yeah.
And God is like, really? Really?
Yeah, how about you look at yourself with grace?
And something that Karen and I often say, and Bryn has heard me say this, my son, I should say, has heard me say this many, many times, And he just laughs. And now that he's an adult, he gets it. Mm. So many times Karen and I will say, when we are at our worst, not intentional, but when we are at our worst, even then, Jesus nudges the Father and calls over the Holy Spirit and says, look at her. She's ours. Mm-hmm. We love her. Look at her go. And then the Holy Spirit will rein us back in. Uh-huh. You know, but it's that mindset that...
Look at her try.
Look at her try. She's, look at her go. But it's
she's
always,
really putting a lot of effort into this today.
Right. She's really... Look at her go. But I think that we've grown to the place that we know him well enough to know that his first statement is, look at her.
Yeah. She's mine.
She's mine. Mm-hmm. Even though she's a hot mess today, she's mine.
Uh-huh.
And that's somewhere that if someone had told me that 15 years ago, that I would reach a place that I felt that way, mm-hmm. and I feel that way because I have such intimacy with him, because I talk to him.
Mm-hmm. I listen
to him, more listening than talking. I don't know that I would have believed that it was possible. Mm-hmm. You hear people talk about it, but just journey on, friends, journey on. It's so worth it. It's so worth it. Even when I have those exit ramps that I take, you know, I say sometimes Karen and I can have a PhD on Tuesday and on Friday we're back in kindergarten, mm-hmm. You know, in our journey.
We like circuitous routes at times.
And that's okay. Yes, our route, if it were mapped, you may need a barf bag if you get motion sickness, because it has been, lots of loop-de-loops.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. again, he does talk to us all. Art. I've heard people talk mm-hmm. about art, music, nature, mm-hmm. scripture reading, journaling. Prayer is always a part of each of those, mm-hmm. but it's just, it makes my heart sad when I hear people who actually have a fear of saying, I want to hear from God. I want to hear the Holy Spirit speak to me. And they're fearful of that. Cause, I mean, sometimes it can be downright scary cause he's mm-hmm. like, I'm like, really, you want me to do what? Or I have what? Mm-hmm. Sin that I have been ignoring that I need to address, but it always, 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 always is because he loves me mm-hmm. and wants more for me and better for me. So, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's where we're at.
And on that note, there we are.
Here we are, the end of April 2023, and we promise it will not be a year.
No, it won't be a year. After we shut this off, we are going to look at our calendars and schedule some additional times.
We're going to make a plan.
We are going to make a plan.
Should we ask for anyone to reach out to you with...
Absolutely.
Comments, questions, recommendations.
Yeah. If there's something you want us to talk about, that you're curious about, our views on the subject, opinions, really, and views. You know, not answers, but questions and opinions.
Yeah, we don't have answers.
Shoot us an email or get in contact with us through the website. Again, waterworksministries.org. And we will be happy to riff on it for 30 to 45 minutes. And God will probably have us go down a path that we did not expect.
Right.
Because that, to me, that's also an indication of how God is at work. If I end up in a place... that I never anticipated going and could not orchestrate it. It has nothing to do with me. That is all Trinity at work.
Well, I mean, and disclosure here, folks, this probably isn't going to be a surprise. We're not scripted.
Oh, yeah.
At all. You're just hanging out with us in Karen's office listening to us talk. And full disclosure, today we went in a way that I never expected us to go because we kind of talked before, like, well, what do you want to talk about? Mm-hmm. And we didn't go where we thought we were going to go. So praise God.
Yeah. So hopefully this is meaningful to you. Find meaning in your work, in your life, and through God, and try and be joyful.
Try and be joyful.
Embody the fruit of the Spirit, as hard as that is sometimes. But
amen.
Amen. Go in grace and peace. We will talk to you next time.